from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
By the way, you gotta work on your Stallone. We need a lower register. Ooh.
Sports Talk Saturday.
That was an incredible Stallone. I've been doing that since I was a kid. You can't touch it.
Ooh.
There's food in your mouth.
Ooh.
There's food in your mouth.
Adrian.
On WGR.
That's disgusting.
Sports Radio 550.
Ooh.
Ooh. Welcome back, hour number three of Sports Talk Saturday.
It's your average conversation between Derek and I.
Off the air. Yeah. We were actually sending snaps.
The other night.
Yeah, the other night. We were sending that to each other. You just sent it at random. And I decided to pull the Harvey Specter quote out of there. Yeah. You got to work on your Stallone. It's got to have a lower tone there. I wonder if Mark Schofield of SB Nation has a good Stallone there for us.
Well, gentlemen, great to be with you. And most of my Stallone impressions come along the lines of like grunts and noises more than anything else. They might be effective, but I don't know if they make for great radio. They're probably better for like, you know, at the bar or something late on Friday night, but they don't make for good radio.
Trust. I mean, hey, speak for yourself, man. We just had a heck of an intro there.
It was a fantastic intro. And I mean, that just sets the table for this segment. It's going to be fantastic.
Hey, man, that's what we do. We set the tone with ridiculousness. But Mark, every year I make sure that we start the year and we end the football season talking to you. And now with you here on a Sports Talk Saturday before the first regular season game of the season, I think now we're allowed to officially say that football is back.
I think we can officially say football is back. I mean, look, we just got done with, you know, ESPN's College Game Day. We had a Saban shirtless Pat McAfee, Nick Saban's, you know, swearing on the show and going to get the FCC censors after him. It's a fantastic Saturday. Going to lead us into the long holiday weekend. And then we get, you know, obviously – Thursday night, we get our first kickoff game. We get the Chiefs back in action. Then we get the new Friday night game down from Brazil into a whole loaded NFL weekend. And so we've made it, friends. You know, we tried to fill the gaps in some of these segments with F1 talk, and now we actually get to finally talk about the NFL. So I know everybody's happy for that.
Everyone's happy for it. And, of course, Mark, you know you're going to get some Bills-centric questions from us, as you would, and I know you're prepared for it. A lot of change from Buffalo this offseason. A lot of questions about what this team can be. But am I allowed to remain somewhat arrogant that as long as the Bills have a healthy Josh Allen, that 10 to 11 wins is not out of the question here?
I mean, we're in the process of putting together sort of our preseason, you know, week one power rankings at SB Nation, which will come out later this week. And I just finished last night the blurbs on the AFC East teams, and that was literally what I wrote. As long as you guys have 17, you've got a shot. You know, and we've seen that before from teams. You know, that was the type of discussion, the type of analysis, brilliant insight that we used to have for the Chiefs a couple of years ago when their defense was struggling a little bit. It's as long as you've got 15, you've got a shot. That's a phrase I used to say often about the Patriots. Hey, as long as they've got 12, they've got a shot. That applies to the Buffalo Bills, too. He's one of the game's elite talents at the position. He's grown into a tremendous quarterback. You know, we think of the journey that he's gone from where he was as a prospect to where he is right now. I don't think too many analysts, I know Mel Kiper Jr. is one of a few that was extremely high on him coming out, but you see what he's become as a quarterback in the National Football League. He gives that team a chance every single week to do something we haven't seen before, to lead that team to a win. As long as he stays healthy, That is a team that can win this division. That is a team that can make another playoff run. Now, of course, there are always variables that come into play over the course of a long NFL season. This is a division that, look, we expect to see something good from the Miami Dolphins. We expect to see something good from the New York Jets. The New England Patriots are a professional football team. But the Bills have a very good chance at, again, winning this division, making a deep playoff run, and it certainly starts with number 17.
Well, you mentioned the Miami Dolphins there. Right now, the Jets are favored to win the AFC East by a considerable amount. That seems to be the national opinion there on the talking heads, if you will. What do you think the lineup of the AFC East is aside from Buffalo? Where do the Jets, where do the Dolphins and the Patriots, where do they end up?
Well, I mean, the Patriots are a professional football team, as I've said, and then that's pretty much the high point of the analysis when it comes to the New England Patriots. I'm not expecting too much from them. Really, the question for them, the only one question I want them to have answered in a good way by the end of the season is, do they believe that Drake May is the guy long-term? If they can answer that, you know, 0-17, 4-13, whatever it is, I'll be okay with that. Now, the other two teams obviously are a much different line of analysis, but they have some critical answers to question. With Miami, look, this is a team that we've seen it before. They start extremely hot. You know, last year around, say, Halloween time, they looked like the team to beat in the AFC East, looked like a team that could make a deep playoff run. But down the stretch, that loss to Tennessee, the way they finished the season, they left the door open for Buffalo to make a late season run. Then they swung it wide open in the final weeks of the season. I have serious questions as to whether this team can, yes, we expect them to probably start fast. Can they finish fast? Can they win games, big games, when it counts, November, December? You know, when Stephen A. Smith is talking about, as he was late this week, you know, on ESPN, that, look, they can't win games when it's cold out, you know that's gone from an interesting talking point within the football world to a much bigger conversation outside the sort of mainstream football analysis. Then with the Jets, yes, on paper, that could be a very, very good football team. They've reworked that entire offensive line. But it seems like, again, as it did last year to me, that the same thing is true this year. This is a team that, yes, they could put it all together, make win that division, make a very deep playoff run, perhaps even get to a Super Bowl, or the wheels could be completely off by October. Like, it seems like there's no, like, 10-7 wild card type season in their future. It's either they're going to really put together a tremendous run, or by October we're talking about who the next coach is, what happens, you know, where do they go from Aaron Rodgers. It seems like there's no middle ground for that team. On paper, it is a very good roster, but they've got a tough schedule, and you're putting your faith in an older quarterback coming off of an injury like that, which has sometimes been tough for quarterbacks to come back from. So those two teams are good on paper, but have some glaring questions they need to answer this year.
Mark, of course, as we've gotten to know you over the years, you do have a bit of a Patriots fan in you. The decision to start Jacoby Brissett over Drake May, even though public comments from head coach Gerard Mayo basically insinuating that May is the better player, but it sounds like New England wants to protect him from starting the season right away based on the look of this roster?
Yeah, and I think, guys, it starts with the offensive line. And when you, at the end of your preseason schedule and ahead of final roster cuts, say, as Gerard Mayo did, that, you know, you're, some of your starting offensive linemen might not be on the roster yet, with the insinuation that you might be signing some cast-offs to potentially start offensively up in the offensive line in week one, that's not a conducive environment for a rookie quarterback making his debut in the National Football League. And, you know, watching May this preseason, watching him, you know, live in that final game against Washington, then rewatching the All-22 on it, I was of two thoughts. One, yeah, he's absolutely ready to play. And he would probably, in a perfect vacuum type situation, give that team the best chance to win week in and week out. But the other thought that was in my mind was that of David Carr, because I kept having this other sort of sinking feeling that if they run him out there week one and he takes 6 sacks, 7 sacks week one, 10 sacks week two, and you have those kinds of sack numbers that you saw when Carr was sacked 76 times his rookie season, you know, 49 times his third year. And, you know, he's pointed to, and others have pointed to, the fact that playing in that type of pocket, in that kind of pressure from snap to snap, it's not a good environment to develop as a young quarterback in the National Football League. So with New England still trying to figure out who their starting five is going to be, let alone give them time to gel as a unit, it's not a good environment for Drake May to make his first start. Now, I think it was the right decision for this team long term, because again, you draft Drake May to be your quarterback for the next 10 years, not just week one of this season. He's still probably going to have to see the field because A, you want to see him, as I said, you want to answer the question this year, is he the guy so you can build around him next year. And two, as we saw in that game against Washington, they started Drake May and they couldn't protect him and he got bagged up. He might have to see the field sooner rather than later, but by starting Brissett, you give yourself as an organization time to figure out, can you at least get five serviceable offensive linemen in front of them? And then when you've got that and they've had some time to gel, I'm not expecting it to be a line like, say, you see in Detroit or Philadelphia or Cleveland or some of the great offensive lines in the game right now. But once you get that to sort of an NFL average level, then you can see what the kid can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And then taking a look just around the NFL here, starting out in the AFC North, I kind of want to pick your brain about the Bengals, Ravens. Like, we were talking about that in the last segment. We were picking division winners. Is that, like, where do you see Joe Burrow coming back? Is that going to really put the Bengals back in the driver's seat? Or are the Ravens going to continue?
You guys are exactly right. I mean, that the two Norths, AFC and NFC, I think are the most fascinating divisions to me outside of my own, the sort of attachments to the AFC East, given, you know, as you can hear from my accent, the Patriots fandom that's still inside me. The North on both conferences is fascinating. In the AFC North, look, with Burrow coming back, obviously you expect Cincinnati to be very good. I've got some questions about them defensively, particularly against the run. If you see a lot of run in that division, as I guarantee you will at least twice when you see Baltimore with, you know, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry next to each other in the backfield, the things they'll be able to do in the run game are going to be fascinating to see and study this year. You know, I expect Cincinnati to be better. I do think Baltimore is in a position to be very good given the Henry addition and what we expect to see from that offense. You know, defensively, will you see a little bit of a fallback? You know, Mike McDonald going to Seattle is going to be sort of a brain drain situation there with the concepts they want to run, but still, I think, a very good defense. Cleveland is interesting. It obviously boils down to Deshaun Watson. Do you finally get Watson and Stefanski getting that offense to work the way Stefanski wants it and in a way that Watson can be successful or not? Pittsburgh's kind of a wild card in that division. You know, obviously, the QB decision is going to be and will be analyzed with every Russell Wilson throw. You know, every time he throws an incompletion or an interception, you're going to see that quick camera shot to Justin Fields on the sideline. That's how media works these days. But that defense is going to be good. Expect them to run the ball effectively as well. They're the wild card in that division. But I still give Baltimore the edge, you know, given what they've got offensively, defensively. But this is a very tough decision to call.
Mark Schofield, SB Nation, joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Mark, moving over to the NFC, Joe and I just did our division winner picks, and he made a very fascinating one that I want to pick your brain on, not just the state of that division and competitiveness of the NFC North with the Lions and the Packers, but Joe picked the Bears to win the NFC North. How do you think Caleb Williams is going to do in his first year? Because, hey, I got to talk to my quarterback guru man here in Mark Schofield and get that question. But also, how do the Bears look in their reconstruction in what is a very tough division in the NFC North?
You know, my editor and dear friend at SB Nation, Ricky O'Donnell, is a diehard Chicago sports fan, diehard Bears fan. And it's probably, you know, 49% joking or, you know, 51% joking, 49% serious. But he's talking about a Super Bowl run. I mean, that's the expectations you're seeing in Chicago right now, and there's reasons for that. I mean, this is a team that finished strong down the stretch. You know, they had that number one overall pick thanks to the trade with the Carolina Panthers. You know, they end up picking first and nine, so you get Caleb Williams, who, you know, it hasn't been flawless in preseason action, you know, but he's certainly made some splashy-type plays where, you know, he might start a drive, might start a game, 1 for 5 or something like that. But then he puts it together a drive like he had in one of those preseason games where you see some incredible throws outside the pocket, off of structure, throws that few quarterbacks on the planet that can make. throws that had Tyreek Hill saying, nudge, nudge, that's Mahomes-like. The excitement level is high because it's a team that finished great down the stretch. They got Caleb, who I expect to have a very good season, and they already had the opportunity, draft capital and cap space-wise, to start loading around him. I mean, Keenan Allen's a nice veteran presence in that room, but Rome Odunze is a tremendous pick for them. And those two, and Caleb and Rome, have a chance to grow and develop and build that chemistry together for a couple of years here. And so I think playoffs are certainly, you know, an expectation that Bears fans should have. Could they win the division? It's not an outlandish guarantee or prediction by any means, because, you know, Detroit's going to see things a little bit differently this year. They're going to have that first-place schedule. It's a tougher schedule. Absolutely not going to sneak up on anybody. Packers obviously took a step forward last year with Love. Playoff win down in Dallas, but, you know, another interesting, tougher schedule for them. The Bears might be in a position because of where they are schedule-wise and what they've already built around Caleb to be that sort of surprising team, and I expect them to be in the playoff hunt. It's a bold prediction to say they win the division, but it's not outlandish at all.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark, of course, asking about the rest of these rookies. I mean, I want to start with Drake May with you, with that Patriots fandom still hanging around there with you. We'll get you someday. Don't worry, man.
You're working on it.
But, of course, around the rest of the league, Jaden Daniels getting the start from the word go, Bo Nix getting the start from the word go, and, of course, Caleb Williams that we just talked about here. What do you think is going to look – what's it going to look like for the rest of the rookie quarterback class here when it comes to Nix and Daniels having to start right away versus May, who's going to be allowed a little bit of protection and a little bit of a chance to learn from the sidelines from the start instead?
Yeah, I mean, when Sean Payton, when they turned that card in for Bo Nix, I basically put it in Sharpie that he was starting week one for that team. He just, watching him, particularly the growth and development he showed, you know, making the move from Auburn to the offense he ran and how he ran it in Oregon, he looked like he was built in a lab to play quarterback for Sean Payton. You know, Payton obviously believes paramount in his offensive system, and I think that was part of the tension and friction between him and Russell Wilson. Nix is a very, very good distributor point guard type of quarterback at a baseline level. But one of the things I do love about him is that he goes beyond that when, you know, the pre-snap expectations do not line up with the post-snap reality. There's a coverage switch, an unexpected blitz, or something like that. He has the ability to solve those problems. He's athletic enough where he can solve some of the problems via his athleticism, moving outside the pocket. When you watch that offense this preseason, they worked in some run game elements involving him as well. I think that's a perfect marriage of coach and quarterback. So I expect a very good year from Nix. I expect a very good year from Daniels. You know, he's certainly impressed me with some of the decisions and throws and reads that he made throughout that preseason in Washington. I think he's going to get off to a very good start. I think he's got a very good offensive coordinator for him in Cliff Kingsbury, who's going to put him in a position to be successful. You know, as for May, I mean, again, it's I'm not expecting more than just answering that baseline question of, is he the guy? That's really all I want to see from him. And from, you know, the flashes he showed in preseason action behind an offensive line that was struggling to protect him, ability to move a little bit, ability to create space, that subtle pocket movement that still matters in the NFL, athleticism to break outside when he needs to, and ability to add something in the QB run game, I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. It's just New England has so many other things they need to figure out and sort out on the offensive side of the football that process will take a little bit of time. But I'm very optimistic about this entire crop of quarterbacks. Obviously, McCarthy's injury sets him a year back, but he might be a blessing in disguise type situation, because it won't be that, you know, if they start to struggle, he won't be forced into action. He can sort of get up to speed as an NFL quarterback. And even Michael Penix Jr. showed some flashes in preseason action with Atlanta. And so I think the arrow is pointing up for this quarterback class. Now, obviously, look, we've said that about, you know, the 18 class with Allen. We've said that about other quarterback classes, you know, the Mac Jones, Zach Wilson quarterback class. We had some expectations there. But I think this group looks like a very solid group. And I think the landing spots for all of these quarterbacks are helping that arrow trend in the upward direction.
You mentioned Michael Penix Jr. landing with the Atlanta Falcons. And that's another quick question I had in the NFC. Taking a look right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have kind of been the front runner, and not with the best records, have been winning the division. Does Kirk Cousins being on the Falcons put them in the driver's seat at this point? Or I know they're the favorite as of now, but what's your take between the Falcons and the Buccaneers for the top?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brennan and Cousins got them into the fast lane, but they were still kind of behind Tampa Bay. The other two additions made recently, Matthew Judon coming over, signing Justin Simmons, I think that allowed them to overtake in that fast lane and come into this season, in my mind, as the favorites in that division. Because now you have obviously got the upgrading quarterback that you desperately needed. I mean, last year's Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke experience obviously didn't pan out. So Cousins gives you that stability. I think we'll see a much more effective and efficient offense from Atlanta this year. But now that defense has taken a big jump forward, too. You factor in they've also got a very good offensive line. Now you've got playmakers on multiple levels of that defense. You've still obviously got talent, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and more in that offensive playmaking huddle. That's a very good football team on paper. Now, similar to the Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets discussion, you're putting your hopes on a quarterback, an older quarterback coming off an injury like that. That is a question mark. But this is a very good football team that has drastically improved over what they were last year. And last year in that NFC South, they were still in the playoff mix until the end of things. And so with those additions, I really do like their chances in that division. Now, you know, going beyond just the division, can they make a deep playoff run? Might be a little bit of a tougher question to answer. But I think they have established themselves, at least in my mind, as front runners in that division.
Mark Schofield, SB Nation, joining us here on the West Shore Hotline. I'm really struggling here today, guys. Mark, it wouldn't be a chance to talk with you, though, without asking. You got anything on the radar right now of rookie quarterbacks heading in, or rookie quarterback prospects for the upcoming draft?
I mean, there's a long way to go. You know, we're just getting into the official week one of the NFL season. I'm excited to see some of these, you know, players in the steps forward that we hope to see from them this year. I think you're going to see one down in Texas A&M that's getting a little bit of buzz right now. Obviously, the big game tonight between Notre Dame and A&M. But watching Thursday night, and I know, you know, a lot's been said and written about Colorado and what they're trying to build out there. But watching Shedeur Sanders, you can't help see the arm talent. And one of the things you often hear about, you know, quarterbacks when they're being evaluated, and it's why people, you know, in the quarterback evaluation game, whether it's the Dan Orlovskys, the Matt Millers, you know, down to people like me, we talk about wanting to see a QB live to see the ball come out of their hand. The ball just explodes out of his hand. And some of the throws that he was making off platform, off structure, outside the pocket, were beyond impressive to me. You know, we've got a long way to go, but watching that game Thursday, rewatching the game film on it Friday morning, I saw a first-round quarterback there. Again, we've got a long way to go, but I'm extremely excited to see how the rest of his season goes. And Travis Hunter Jr., we did a little exercise a couple weeks ago at SB Nation where we drafted our flag football teams for the 28 Olympics, you know, using current players. I was lucky enough to get Lamar Jackson with my first pick. Travis Hunter Jr. was my second because he is different. You know, the ability to play at such a high level on both sides of the football, you know, I think ultimately the money is probably going to push him towards wide receiver because you look at what guys like Justin Jefferson, guys like CeeDee Lamb are getting, you know, he might want to go that route, but he can play both positions at an extremely high level. And Colorado, you know, the schedule is what it is. They might not, you know, make a run for the playoff or anything like that. But those two look like first-round picks, and I'm excited to see the rest of the season from them.
Mark, I always appreciate talking to you. I miss having a nice little chat like this, but also it's a great way to kick off the football season when we get the Mark Schofield season preview, trademark pending, here on Sports Talk Saturday.
Well, guys, it's always a blast. Love coming on. We got a long holiday football weekend ahead of us. It's going to be a blast. We're right into week one of the NFL season. It's getting to be the best time of the year, and we love every second of it. But thanks again, friends. Always a blast.
Mark, of course, in case anyone's living under a rock or hasn't heard you on our airwaves over the past couple of years, where can they find your work?
Well, easiest way, your social media on X, at Mark Schofield, Threads, Mark Schofield 3916. Or you can just go SBNation.com. They've got me covering everything from NFL, college, F1. I'm doing the Shohei Ohtani 50-50 tracker. I mean, they give me an open pen over there. It's probably a little bit dangerous because I've written about, you know, things from the NFL down to tech ball. Look it up, kids. It's a fun little sport. But SBNation.com is the best way to find me.
Mark, it's always a pleasure. And if you're ever up here, I still owe you that plate of wings.
I absolutely have to take you guys up on that. I've got to get up to Buffalo sometime. I really do.
Mark, always good talking to you, and we'll try to do so more throughout the season. And at minimum, we do have that Super Bowl tradition.
It's already penciled, not even penciled, sharpied in on my calendar for Super Bowl Sunday, my friends.
Let's go. All right, Mark, always appreciate talking to you. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and hope all is well with you and your family.
You too, friends. Be well. Have a great weekend.
That's Mark Schofield, SB Nation, joining us on the West Her Hotline, getting a nice season preview around the league, a lot under center. Mark really got in with us when we were starting to evaluate the quarterbacks for the 2018 class.
Ah, okay.
That's where it starts, and it's been a blast to be able to talk to him ever since then.
Phenomenal
as
analysis.
As regularly as possible.
Yeah, that was
Mark's
awesome.
Mark's that dude.
He helped me feel a little better about the Chicago pick, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Mark is that dude. I remember I had a low opinion of Josh Allen on that draft night, and Mark was the one to help talk me off the edge. So and he did that while working all day on draft coverage and joined Joe DiBiase and I on a Sports Thunder for that
pick. The all-nighter.
He hit us up at 1 a.m. for that guest spot. So
there we go.
It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to Mark, and you know, someone that is willing to do that for us is absolutely how to go about it.
Absolutely.
The one regret I have is that I didn't end the call with him but without going,
Yo, Adrian.
Adrian. Fun was had. And that's exactly how it needs to be there. I love talking to Mark, and we will do so in the near future. But after this, though, hey, football's back. Football is back.
We're so back. Football's so back.
Football is so back. Iowa refuses to score touchdowns. They're up 6-0.
So the rant from
they got to, they got
top
to the 10
the
yard
hour.
Line and no.
It was like last night. I was watching Temple.
I now think that if I play college football 25 with like a new dynasty, I need to like make the Iowa Hawkeyes turn into an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah, do it.
Or do I just take another Big Ten team and continue to show them that they are inferior in every way?
Or take the Iowa Hawkeyes, disband them, and transfer them somewhere else. That's what I would do if I had the choice. End it while you're still ahead. They're not ahead, actually. End it before you go further behind.
End it while they're down.
Yeah. Put them out of their misery. Just end it.
Zach Jones actually tweeted in something saying, oh, so Clemson is just better looking Iowa now. And I didn't totally disagree with what was said. I had replied with, careful, Iowa football literally hates fun. Actually, so does Dabo Swinney. Never mind, carry on. Because Swinney was like the loudest vocal opponent with the NIL deals. And now that the transfer portal and the NIL thing has happened, Swinney has not adapted to it. At least Saban knew to walk away.
Right.
With all of his championships and all of his glory, he at least knew, okay, yeah, no, now's time. We're good. We've done enough here. Sweeney's going to go down swinging with his traditional values in a changing college football landscape, and I'm here for it. At least Iowa's always been bad.
Yeah.
Clemson, under Sweeney, I'm here for the downfall. We're going to need to get Zach on some Sports Talk Saturday segments for college football wraps.
Because seriously,
nobody likes college ball more than our boy Zach Jones.
Or college basketball. That guy is knowledgeable. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And he's a wizard.
And we don't get enough of it here. So we should get some insight on that sort of stuff with Zach. All right. 803-0550. How are you feeling with the Bills as we are just 8 days from Buffalo Bills football being counted for real?
We're Sam Martin days away.
We're ready to go.
Who's a different number eight? I feel like we had a...
Brian Moorman, baby.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking of.
There you go.
Yeah.
The better punter.
Yes.
All right. 803-0550 if you want to call in. We've got about a half hour here left on a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evans on the board. You're listening to WGR.
Ooh.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.